your full name and date of birth, please?
Charles Edward Eastey, 14th of June, 1923.
And what was your rank on Living Service?
Armament Artificer, brackets, wireless, close brackets, Staff Sergeant.
And where were you born, and did you have any previous military experience in the family?
Father served during the First World War in Royal Engineers. He was the first person to fire what is now known as a Bangalore torpedo and got himself wounded for it by a friendly mortar, for which he got himself the military medal. As far as I'm concerned, the only military service I had was in school with the Officers' Training Corps. No other military assurance.
And when was your wartime service?
I was called up on the 14th of May 1942, which unfortunately was my mother's birthday. And I was finally discharged sometime in March 47.
And with the outbreak of the Second World War, did you anticipate your call up? How did you feel?
Well, I can remember listening to Chamberlain on September the 9th, and his speech still sends shivers down my spine. And I was a schoolboy of 16 then, and I thought, well, Mum and Dad know all about this. I'm obviously going to get involved if this goes on any longer. And that was it. I had another 2 years at school to do, to take what in those days was the higher school certificate. But during that time, of course, you weren't allowed to do nothing. Mother was a Red Cross nurse. Father was senior observer in the Observer Corps. And I was a junior fireman in what was those days the AFS, the Auxiliary Fire Service. That was quite an experience. Call up. I was called up into the Royal Army Ordnance Corps, actually. Called up as general duties, trainee wireless. Called up to Mark Eaton Park, Derby. And what an experience. For a schoolboy straight out of school, suddenly plunged into a barrack room of 40 men to live, sleep, be in contact 24 hours a day virtually. That is quite an experience. Basic training, how to salute, how to march, how to handle. Well, I already knew how to handle a rifle, and I could shoot from the Officers' Training Corps days. So it was a little bit easy. But the kit, oh dear, boots. Heavy boots. And if you've got a blister, hard luck. Eventually, at the end of basic training, you weren't allowed out of camp for the first fortnight. At the end of basic training, we were given, that's 6 weeks, we were given a week's leave. And from there, I then went to, from Mark Eaton Park, Derby, as I say, a week's leave, and then for basic wireless training to the Technical College at Bradford. Here, we were actually in civilian billets, and there were about 8 of us billeted in a house with a dear old maiden lady, Miss Bulmer. All she had to do was provide us with a bed, I think, because my memory says we had all our meals at Bradford Technical College. There, they taught us basic wireless theory. In other words, what makes a wireless set work, basically. In addition, of course, to that, we had a PT instructor there, and he was a right PT instructor. He had us running all around the streets of Bradford to get us fit. It's in addition to what was virtually schoolwork, learning how wireless worked. I think that was about a 12-week course. At the end of Bradford, we all said goodbye to Miss Bulmer. That was quite a great, because I was the youngest in Miss Bulmer's house, and there was a gentleman there who was also doing the same course, Fleck, and he was the oldest. He was about 45, so he sort of fathered the whole lot of us. From Bradford, it was then back into the army virtually to Osmaston Camp, Derby, where we then learnt about actual army equipment. In other words, the 18 set, the 22 set, the 19. The R107 actually explored the innards of the receivers themselves. So we got used to the various components, that what went where in which receiver, and what faults were liable to develop, because of course we were going to be the mechanics that were going to repair wireless sets, and telephones, the Telef, the Fuller phone. The Fuller phone was a horror. Yes. Can you leave it for a moment? Question as to how did I get into wireless? Well, before I joined the army and between school, I worked for about 9 months with the Mullard Radio Valve Company. So I had, and I was always mad about electronics. I built myself a crystal set when I was a youngster and had it on the head of my bed. So I knew what was a volt, what was an amp, and what was an ohm, and that. So when I went for the initial medical examination before I was enlisted, they asked you what your interests and that were, and of course I said, well, wireless and that. I said, right, you, general duties for training as a wireless mechanic. And at that time in 1942, it was prior to May 42, because I enlisted in May, there was no REME, and all the wireless repair work was done by Royal Army Ordnance Corps. So, of course, I ended up in the Royal Army Ordnance Corps. When REME were formed on the 1st of October 42, on block, all of us who were of that trade were transferred straight into REME. So that makes me a founder member, an old man. So does that answer your question on that? Good. That's how I got into the effort. We're at Osmaston. Osmaston, as I say, was learning army equipment. But you were also a soldier, although by this time you were called a craftsman. Posh title. You also still had to do guard duty all night, which was a bind, and various military training. It was still on the cards. Right, that was about, that must have been about another 6 weeks. And from Usmaston, you were allocated, you were then supposed to be a trained, in fact my pay book says I passed certain training, I've still got my pay book, passed certain trade tests and got a little bit of extra money. Not much. Money wasn't very plentiful. And you were then allocated to workshops. I ended up in South Eastern Command workshop at Aldershot, where all the difficult ones, the difficult problems came back into a base workshop. Living in what they now know as H blocks from the Mays prison days. But the same thing was at Aldershot. Wooden hutments with four wings, which were the sleeping accommodation, and the centrepiece, which was, in that delightful army expression, the ablutions. Another part of the work from Southeast Asia Command was sending out inspection teams to all the various units in Southeast Command, which was in those days based mainly Kent, around that area. Kent and a bit of Sussex, South Coast area, to check and bring up to scratch all their wireless and telephone equipment. We had a lorry, the well-known Z lorry. I don't know whether you know the Z lorry, do you?
No.
The Z lorry is a fully equipped three-tonner as a wireless workshop. Z because in VEOS, Vocabulary of Army Ordnance Stores, VEOS, all the wireless and communications equipment, that code number begins with Z. So consequently, you get ZA, ZB, ZC. Consequently, the mobile workshop was a Z lorry. You could connect it up to the mains, although it did have its own petrol generator to supply the electricity. But if you connected it up to the mains, due to leakage, you had to be very careful getting on and off. Otherwise, you got a belt. You became very expert at leaping onto the steps or leaping off them so you didn't get caught. But when you're carrying a heavy piece of wireless equipment, that gets a bit dodgy. We went all over the place. We ended up, I'll tell you a personal story now. When we ended up at Tunbridge Wells, now Tunbridge Wells was the headquarters of 12 Corps. The Corps commander, before we arrived there, some time before, was Bernard Montgomery. And he still, 12 Corps still had his regime of physical training, because he was great for that, great on that. Anyway, the team ended up at Tunbridge Wells, and we took over an empty house. Yes, that's a good idea. Uh, And during the day we went out, because there were, being Corps headquarters, there are a lot of units there and a lot of equipment to deal with. And we spent several days there. Our next move was to a town about 6 miles away, 6 miles north of Tunbridge Wells, and for the life of me I can't remember the name of it at the moment, where we visited an outlying unit. Now, we did our work there. Remember, I'm still a craftsman. In charge is a staff sergeant and a sergeant. And I was given an afternoon off. So I went into Tunbridge Wells. And in Tunbridge Wells, I found a very nice canteen, the Tock H Canteen. So I went in there in the afternoon, had a cup of tea, and if you know the expression, a tea and a wad.
Yeah.
And talking to the young lady, I said, oh, we've got a dance on here tonight. Oh, have you? Right, I'll come. So that evening, I went to the dance. And the usual, a lot of troops and some young ladies. Well, now, this is in retrospect, because I've been told this afterwards. At one time, I must have danced in a Paul Jones. Know Paul Jones?
No.
Paul Jones, all the ladies are in a ring in the centre, all the gentlemen in a ring on the outside. One goes one way, one goes the other. When the music stops, you dance with whoever's opposite. As I say, during a Paul Jones, I must have danced with a certain young lady. Remember, much to my shame. So then later on they had the MC announced a ladies' invitation dance. Know it?
No.
Instead of the gentleman asking the lady to dance, all the ladies have to go and find a partner. So I thought, right, I'm out. And I went, there's some curtains hanging at the side, and I went and sat behind one of the curtains. I was going to have a cigarette. And lo and behold, a certain young lady came and asked me to dance. Oh. Kind of short story long, I took the young lady home. The young lady became my wife.
Oh.
But, so, Remy has got a lot to answer for. And she was my wife for 35 days short of 45 years. So it was a good dance. That was that time. We arranged the next night that we would meet and go somewhere. Well, leaving the dance, it started to throw it down. I was in number one uniform, and I still had some shoes left. So I had to walk back to Southwood, South, this town anyway. You look it up on the map. There in this pouring rain. And I got soaked. Well, next night, of course, going to meet Barbara, as I found her name, I had to wear my work uniform, heavy boots, and gaiters, and right slob. And we said, well, there's a very nice theatre in Tunbridge Wells. We'll go there. So we marches up to the box office. Yes, they said, we've had two returned. Oh, good. So we'll have them. So they gave us the tickets. We went through the auditorium. The usherette took us. And where did she take us? Right down the front row. As me, not particularly smartly dressed, right in the front row. Never mind. Another coincidence, the play was called Golden Sands. And the names of the two main characters, Charles and Barbara. So, that's Tunbridge Wells. It's got a lot to answer for.
Many good memories from that.
Yes. I hope this is the sort of stuff you want.
Definitely.
Oh, I'd blather on for the... Did you tell me to stop? Of course, I was now a trained craftsman, wireless mechanic. And I had been shortlisted because of my experience before the war and my training to go on a TIFFIS course. No TIFFIS?
Yeah, Artificer.
To go on a TIFFIS course. And eventually, from Aldershot, I went on a TIFFIS course. That was at TIFFIS course. This TIFFIS course was at the Military College of Science, which in those days had been evacuated to Bury in Lancashire. And of course, immediately you went on a TIFFIS course, you got three stripes and some more money. Very useful. And also, you were living in civilian billets. Now, a TIFFIS course took about 13 weeks, I think. And I was billeted with Elsie and George Ivatt. Two typical Lancastrian homely folk. They received from the army a grateful amount of sixpence per night to give me a bed. That's all they were required to do, to give me a bed, because all our food was in the sergeant's mess. If you wanted a shower, well, you went in the public washhouse. Incidentally, we did that at, going back to Derby, there was a public bathhouse in Derby where the whole gang of us from Miss Bulmer's used to go. And cubicles with a bath in, and there was the towel, and all were necessary. But there were two prices. The cheaper price, the attendant filled the bath. The dearer price, you had control of the taps inside the cubicle. And we all used to go in the dear one. So we could have a good old soak. And the standard thing there was, after we'd been to the bath, we would go in a canteen. I believe it was a YMCA. And there were some very nice young ladies there. One called Miss Megan Dando. She was very nice. Anyway, that's a sidetrack. Let's go back to Bury. As I say, Elsie and George got sixpence per night. Was it sixpence per night or sixpence per week? Sixpence per night, I think, for giving me a bed. But, being typical Lancastrian people, I was not allowed to go out of the house in the morning without a cup of tea. I was not allowed to go to bed at night without having something. No matter what it was, it was a biscuit, a cup of tea, anything. That was it. And, unfortunately, year before last, I think it was the year before last, I buried Elsie. She was 2 days short of her 102nd birthday. And I'd kept in touch with her all the way through. Yes. Anyway, back to Bury. What did we learn in a TIFFIS course? A much more complicated circuitry for wireless and They even got us one of the teleprinters. They are horrors. To be able, really, to lead a team of mechanics. In other words, the mechanics had the first knowledge of how a wireless set worked. But if they got in trouble, we were supposed to be able to bail them out. And as I say, for that, during training, you had three stripes. Elsie always used to call us her sergeants. During that time, we've still got enough tape. During that time, the army got what is now what is known as the number 10 set. Now, the number 10 set was highly secret. It was the first sort of system which used PCM, pulse code modulation. It was supposed to be uninterceptable. And there's one in the Science Museum, actually, a number 10. There's a number 10 set in the Science Museum. And we were the first group. Our group was AAW39. I still remember that. And
what was that stand called?
Armament Artificer Wireless, number 39. We were the first group to learn about the number 10 set. And we had to have a special notebook to write in it. And subsequently, or many moons later, I'll break off and tell you the story. I was in India at a workshop, and all of a sudden, Sergeant Ranger comes up to me, says, "Staff, we've got a secret package in the office addressed to you." I said, "Oh yes, I know what that is." And it was my number 10 notebooks. We weren't allowed to carry those. They had to come through. And Sergeant Major was most impressed that a little tiffy could get a secret passage, a package. Yes. Anyhow, that's breaking off. We learned that, and that was at Bury. We had, Bury was a good place because most weekends we didn't have anything to do. And of course, you can get from Bury to Manchester on a little train. And it was, in those days, fairly easy to get from Bury to Euston on the train. And Barbara was living in Tunbridge Wells. And if I got a weekend off, she would come up, or got a day pass or anything, she would come up from Tunbridge Wells to London, and I'd meet her in London. So we toured London quite a bit. We also developed quite a scheme of travelling without a ticket. That's not a publication. Yes. Which, it was a good scheme because we always had a valid ticket on us in case the inspector came round. But that was Bury. From Bury, after you passed all your exams and your trade tests and what have you, they gave you a crown. So you became a staff sergeant. And of course, from there, you went to another workshop. I ended up at Bicester, Arncott Barracks, Bicester. The workshop there was literally taking Sherman tanks to pieces, cleaning them all up, and putting them back together again. So here you have a brand new wireless tiffy And what did they give him to oversee? All the electrical wiring in a tank. Typical army. Oh, but I had a very good sergeant electrician who guided me. I've been very lucky, actually, because even in Burma, I had a very good instrument sergeant, and I had a very good armourer sergeant, which I didn't know too much about them, near enough, but they could guide me. Anyway, that's by the by. From this